Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So we are live if you're listening at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. You have a 99% chance of catching this program live. So come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. And join the conversation. Your comments, your questions are welcome there. And I will check that frequently to make sure that I try not to miss anything. Let's see. Well, let's start with our scripture for today. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Yeah. Whole lot of that going on. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the question is, where's your heart? Yeah. Now you know where your treasure is. Wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And speaking of treasure, I guess we're going to jump right into some news items. And second hour, we're going to jump back into our beast symbol and beast and related symbols, apocalyptic beasts and related symbols. It'll be part four. So you want to stick around for the second hour and that. And my book is coming along quite well. I'm working on it a little bit every day. And it's starting to take shape and get organized some. So still a lot of work to do on it, maybe another month or two. But you'll enjoy my insights that are fresh in my mind as we go through it. Anyway, speaking of where your heart is and there is where your treasure is, we have some news headlines here. And this from LouRockwell.com. How a $7,611 monthly Social Security check became $1,473, and why digital money won't stop this theft. Now, do I really have to even read this article to tell you what it means? Okay, number one, I don't participate in Social Security. I became a conscientious objector to Social Security in the early 1990s. So I have not participated in socialism since then. Okay? Not a card-carrying member. Don't want anything from them. Don't want to give them anything. No one is required by law to participate unless you sign up. And but then if you do sign up and you try to stop and you try to tell them that you want to rescind your number, well, they'll just tell you, you can't rescind your number. You're ours forever. No, but they're lying to you because, first of all, you can't rescind your number because it's not your number. But if you have any numbers, you can rescind them anytime you want. But you don't own the Social Security number. It is not yours. It is theirs. So I don't care if they rescind it or not. I am going to not participate in using the number, having it applied to me in any way, shape, or form. But I have found out since then that they started to eliminate people from rights and privileges due to United States citizens who don't participate, who are not card-carrying socialists. So, you know, like first it was licenses, because the state issues licenses, and then they said, well, we're not going to issue you a driver's license unless you participate in socialism first. Well, I thought it was a free country. Well, it is, right. That's true. It is a free country. I don't have to participate in socialism, but they won't give me a driver's license. So I've started looking into that, And I figured out, well, I'm not a driver, so what do I need a license for anyway? Okay? Because I'm not a driver. Drivers is a profession, which, and I guess the state has the right to regulate professions to a certain degree, but, you know, requiring that they participate in the socialist scheme and the government employment program, because that's what it is. You didn't know it, but if you participate and use a social security number, you are a government employee. It's kind of like a, well, never mind what it's like, but read the entire Social Security code and then you'll know what you signed up for. Until then, you only assume whatever it is you assumed your participation to be, but that isn't law. The law is written down. So anyway, so how a $7,611 Social Security check became a $1,473, and why digital money won't stop this theft. Okay, well, we've all heard of inflation, and we're all experiencing it quite a bit today. Yeah. And I got to figure out how to stop people from putting things in the chat room like this. There's pictures and links and stuff. And good morning to everyone in the chat room. Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Gary Chapman. I think he's an old Jesus music rock star, isn't he? Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to save the chat room for chatting instead of taking up the whole chat room with pictures of rock stars or, you know, long gone rock stars or whatever. But anyway, I guess I can't stop what I can't stop. I liked my old chat room better, but the servers aren't supporting it anymore. Okay, so we all know about inflation. It's becoming very much alive today. It is increasing in speed. And, well, you know, I think it was part of the warp speed, proposition that was initiated by Donald Trump. Not only warp speed, or are they going to send out the troops to vaccinate you, your children? Well, they're starting out with the children in middle school, the 12 through or whatever it is, you know, the 12 and over that are in middle schools. And yeah, you can check that out. They're using troops at middle schools to coerce children without their parents' permission. And it's not just happening in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, but it's happening in all over the world. Where, I mean, all over the earth, all over the United States. But I guess they only have so many units that they're sending out. But they figure those units can probably hit so many schools per month. What, a half a dozen per month? All they need is a few days. They let the school Nazis know that they're coming, so that they can get everything lined out and make sure everybody shows up and not warn anybody to stay away. Have them come to school on that day for some other reason that children would want to show up at school. And then the Nazis are there and their soldiers, coercing your children, covertly, it seems. Look it up. Coeur d'Alene, troops in middle school, you'll find some articles there. And then there are other middle schools. So they're targeting that age of children for, the Nazi, the transhuman jab. Yeah. Because they want your children. But anyway, oh, we jumped ahead to a different article. Do I really need to talk about why Social Security is decreasing in value? What used to be worth $7,600 today dollars has dwindled to $1,473 today dollars. You know, like when you signed up for Social Security. Well, let's see, what year was he referring to when today dollars were worth $1,400 today dollars were worth $7,600 yesterday dollars. I don't know what year he has. But anyway, this article from LouRockwell.com, and he's going back to, what year? Okay, 1980. So $1,437 in 1980 would be worth $7,600 today. See, that's how they rob you. Yeah, that's how they do it, and that's how they're robbing us. And, you know, where is your treasure? You know, you won't even collect it all. So whatever they told you about Social Security, whatever you believe about it, is most likely wrong, because it's only the law that matters. So get out the Social Security Act, and then every act or law that has been passed since then that changes the Social Security Act and updates it, or you'd have to get the most updated version of it with all of the corrections and updates to it to find out what it is you're participating in. And I believe that the Bible tells us not to participate. Read Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, refrain your foot from their path. If they say, cast your lot in with us. Yes, let us all have one purse. Refrain your foot from their past. And Jesus addressed socialism head on, explicitly, but he didn't use the word socialism, but the principle he addressed. And he said, when he said that, you know, that the Gentiles lord it over you. Slipping my mind here, but I'll have to, it'll come back to me. But take my word for it, or don't take my word for it. Ask me the question later, and I'll get you the verse. Having a teenage moment, have those quite often, where I can't quite recall. I think it's really part of the human condition. And let's see, Carrie Ann in the chat room, I believe that is. I can't read that because her, you can change the color of your text, Carrie Ann, so it can be more readable. Oh, one of your favorite song fits your scripture of the day perfectly. Oh, okay. Oh, is that, Gary Chapman. Didn't he marry, what's her name, that became apostate? Yeah, and left him. What was her name? Amy Grant. The apostate Amy Grant. I guess maybe he was fortunate that she left him. Yeah. There you go. See, I have a little memory of this stuff too. I'm pretty sure that was Amy Grant that married Gary Chapman, and then she divorced him. Yes. Okay, let's see. Let's go to our next article here, see what else I have in my lineup here. They're coming. Ah, see, I did jump ahead. Okay, so they're going after the 12 to, 12 and up right now, bringing the troops in to go after them with the Antichrist transhuman Borg jab. But now, it says here, FDA Advisory Committee reviews EUA, that's emergency use authorization. It's an emergency. So Pfizer wants to vaccinate 5 to 11 year olds. Yeah. And this I have from Children's Health Defense. CHD is going to sue the FDA for recklessly endangering children if the agency authorizes the transhuman jab for children 5 to 11 years old. So I would say subscribe to childrenshealthdefense.org, I believe it is. Let me see, is that what it is? Yeah. Not sure what it is. But it's you can look up Children's Health Defense. That's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website there. One of our warriors out there on the front lines. I don't agree with everything he's doing with his organization, but I agree with most of it. I'll tell you, he stands for liberty, and especially, our autonomous decision-making power when it comes to medical intervention in our lives. So they're coming for your children. Let's see. Here we go. We got some Babylon Bee here. Let's see. Dale says something here in the chat room. We can't read him either. Trials will not be done until 2023. Well, yeah, the trials are going on right now. What, 580 some days? Oh, wait a minute. They didn't start the jab until 300 days in. So the trials are not even a year old yet. Imagine that. Oh, they're running real-time trials on billions of people. So, yeah, let's see how them trials work out. Well, at least that's what the mouse in the cartoon said to the other mouse. Just ask Greg Sesmetsky. He'll tell you all about it. I set up that cartoon like a year ago, and he's been talking about it ever since. Yeah. Okay. Nine ways. Okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. Gin sake. Gin sake. It sounds like a drink. Yeah. Points out that inflation doesn't matter since there are no goods to purchase anyway. We got a picture of her and some empty store shelves. And speaking of, what are they calling that? A supply chain fail. Remember I've been waiting for my well to get dug? Well, the supply chain first hit. They couldn't get parts for their rigs. Now they got the parts, but now they can't get parts for my well. They can't find any well casing. I talked to them, the end of last week, and they said, as soon as we get some well casing, we'll be there. So they're waiting for well casing. It's probably on a container ship somewhere, waiting to be unloaded. So I might see it before spring, I hope, because I would like my well right now, actually. But, if I just definitely want it before spring so I can plant a garden and I don't have to suffer through another hot summer with inadequate water. Yeah. So I'm getting water delivery right now. That's always fun. I only can get so much water per week. And in the summer it goes very, very fast. Yeah. Okay, so Jin Saki points out that inflation doesn't matter. Yeah. When the goods show up, yeah, the inflation will matter. But this sounds like something dumb that she would say. That's from the Babylon Bee. Let's see what else they got from the Babylon Bee here. Let's see. Fauci hopes his experiments on puppies will distract everyone from experiments he performed on humanity for the past 18 months. Now, this is supposed to be satire, but sometimes satire is more true than we would like it to be, because this has been an experiment on humanity, on billions of humans, performed over the last 18 months. And, you know, just like the governor of New York was so glad that he pinched some woman's butt so that people wouldn't look at the thousands of people he killed by his decrees in nursing homes. Okay. Yeah, I would rather people complaining about that I pinched a woman's butt too. Though that's criminal, it's not nearly as criminal as killing thousands of people by your decree. Yes, he should be held for crimes against humanity. And the same thing here with this guy. So, let's see, what else we got here? I think I like the satire better than the real news. Sometimes the satire should be the real news. I think maybe that's the point. In new Paw Patrol episode, I guess if you have young children, you know what the Paw Patrol episode is. Pups to face their greatest foe yet. Dr. Fauci. Yeah, so the next thing you know, oh yeah, that's right. It's because he tortures puppies. I get it. And here's another one. Janet Yellen. She wants to do property tax, of course, on the wealthy only. And it's called on unrealized gains. Do you know what an unrealized gain is? Okay, well, let's say you bought at the beginning of the year, you bought some cryptocurrency for, $30,000. And at the end of the year, it's worth $40,000. Yeah, but you haven't cashed it in yet. Okay. The next year, it might go down to zero, but she wants you to pay taxes on the gain. And of course, this is going to require that everyone catalog all of their holdings, everything they have, and your unrealized gain from the property you own. What about that? See, I think Barack Obama wanted to tax people on the rental value of their home because that's an unrealized gain. See, because you own your home, you don't have, you're receiving the rent from yourself, so you should pay taxes on it. That's just, yeah, that Barack Obama already came up with that one. So it's kind of the same thing. This is what these world, you know, this is the you'll own nothing and you will be happy thing. This is the action plan to make it work. But anyway, Babylon Bee says, Janet Yellen proposes tax on coins you acquire in Mario Brothers or whatever, you know, those games. Yeah. Same thing, pretty much. Yeah. But this is what it's coming to. And, 2030s, their goal. They've set their time, 2030. That's why they're pushing so hard. And no matter how hard we push back, they don't care. As you see, they're pushing ahead anyway. They're just ignoring you because it's not about what you're protesting or about what you're doing. It's about their goal, their 2030 agenda. That's what it's about. And they've got a master who's called, we call him Satan and the devil, who they'll tell us is not real. But he is their master, and he's pushing on them. He is driving their agenda. He gives the beast its power. I read that in the Revelation. Okay, let's see what else we got here. NASCAR race ends early as gas gets too expensive for anyone to reach the finish line. Yeah, gas going up. It's 4 to 5 for something where I'm living right now in the rural areas on the land called California. Anyway, we're going to a break and we'll get into some more news items to fill this hour, your comments, your questions, and then we'll jump into part 4 of our exposition of beast powers and related symbols from the scripture. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. In this first hour, just going through news items, discussion. And in the second hour, which is will come up at the top of the hour, we will jump back into part four of our series on exposition of beast powers and related apocalyptic symbols. Back to our headlines and that kind of stuff. We were looking at some Babylon Bee headlines here. Oh yes, man carefully times his loading of the dishwasher so his wife will see him. Good idea, men. But try not to be so obvious about it. Yes, act surprised. No, don't act at all. Just be yourself. Anyway, that's good for a chuckle. Let's see, what else do we have in headlines here? Yes, Google's dystopian research censorship. Twisting knowledge. Google's AI is broken because it reflects the biases of its creators. That's dangerous. Worse, it's legal mob has circled the wagons to protect Google's reputation and hide its shortcomings. The result, research papers are being censored by lawyers who know little about what they are censoring. Okay. After mass firings, Washington's governor's now eyes shot mandate for all private businesses. Yeah, that'll go over well, right? These Nazis, these transhuman jab Nazis, they are under strict orders from their master. Most of these people, or a lot of these people, if they're not true believers, they're compromised, being blackmailed in some way to do what they're doing. They're under threat of duress, loss of life, limb, property, family, livelihood. This is how the Antichrist and his shadow government work. We know this well. They wrote a manual on how to do this hundreds of years ago, and they've implemented that manual for the last 400 years, however long it's been. And it's worked very well for them. Though if they rewrote the manual today, or maybe they have, I just haven't received a copy of it. Maybe they're better at hiding it before, because that first one got exposed. And Western Europe was so outraged that they kicked this little army out of almost every country in Western Europe. Even one of the popes kicked it out of the Vatican. Yeah, that pope unfortunately ended up dead, and the next pope reinstated the army, the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist. Yes, so we know what's going on there. Washington State is close to going full on Australia, as Governor Inslee now looks to mandate the jab for all private businesses. Duly elected state legislators who have refused are being locked out of government buildings. State troopers have been fired along with other first responders. Yeah. This is I tell you what, if we're going to speak of something being what would be symbolic or a type of a political earthquake, what has been going on for the last year and a half or nearly two year and a half, yeah, I would call it a political earthquake, or at least the rumblings It's like a tsunami. The earthquake hits, but the tsunami follows and rolls across the earth. Propaganda. World Economic Forum launches Great Narrative Initiative. Klaus Schwab, monitored by Trilateral Commission member Henry Kissinger since 1970, has already dropped the Great Reset on the world. Now he has partnered with the United Arab Emirates to create the Great Narrative, to craft a unified propaganda to sell it to the world. So the push is on. The 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast continues unabated, and I don't see that it will end. But that does not mean that we should not resist, because many hundreds of millions have resisted throughout history. And yes, they resisted to blood. They paid with their lives. And we may be required to pay for our resistance to the Antichrist, to the evil of the world. We may be paid. We may be required to pay with our lives also. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that many will. So let us not be surprised that we see it coming, but let us never give up. Let us never give in. Let us always resist evil. Say amen. Yes, amen. I guess all my sound check and video checks must be great, because nobody's complained yet. Everything seems to be working well. Yeah. All right, let's see what else I have here in our lineup. Okay, breaking news here. FDA panel endorses the Pfizer jab for 5 to 11-year-olds. And does that mean that the EUA has been issued? The emergency unauthorized V has been issued? Experts say it's unnecessary for kids. Premature and will do more harm than good. No doubt. Yeah. Since it's doing more harm than good for everyone, as far as I can observe, that has allowed themselves to participate in it. See. Oh, yes. Jace in the chat room. Good to see you here. He says, yeah, the shadow government, the Jesuits, love poison. The poison cup has always been one of their instruments. And the needle was the first tool. Garden of Eden. The needle was the first tool. Needle was the first tool? There was a needle in the Garden of Eden? I'm not sure you're saying that at all, but that's how it comes out. The needle is the present tool, no doubt. And they just don't want to covertly kill someone in power or an enemy of theirs, as they have practiced the poison cup for centuries now. They just want to kill everyone. It doesn't matter who, friend or foe. They just want to do the bidding of their master, Satan, the enemy of mankind, who wants us all dead, who wants to erase mankind, who is made in the image of God, because he hates the image of God, even the very image of God. Yeah. Oh, knitting clothes. Fig leaves weren't knitted. Yeah. But that was because that was their first clothing was, yeah. You're not evil if you're knitting, but I get it, Jace. It's a pun on words there. Okay, let's see what else okay, let's move to our next tab here. I guess there's a having trouble. This is from Robert Kennedy Jr. He says, Mickey Willis sparked the seed revolution with his incendiary films. And indoctrination and all that. So anyway, that's not a news item, but I've seen those. Most of us have seen those videos, the Mickey Willis videos, because they came out quite early. And then go check out Lou Rockwell. There's plenty of good articles there if you want to catch up on the what's current on the the V scene out there. Listen for David Knight in the afternoon after Financial Survival. And he does a three-hour broadcast, which we rebroadcast in the afternoon. So make sure you listen to him if you want all the latest, all very good information. He keeps it front and center because it is front and center and it's not going away. This is what we're fighting against as we watch it evolve. The lockdowns and this tyrannical control is never going away. They're looking for, once people are weary of the present impetus, okay, being the transhuman jab, they'll find other reasons. They're talking about climate lockdowns now and anything. They've just to lock down and exercise more tyrannical control over mankind with the end in view is the 2030 march to the mark of the beast and total control of every individual on the planet. See, they want to play God. See, because truly God, only God has control and knows, has inquisitorial power into the mind of every human being. Because God knows all. He sees all. We can hide nothing from him. But see, we can trust him. Other men? Yeah. And especially these evil, maniacal agents of Satan in the world, I definitely don't trust them. Because I know what their master wants. He wants us all dead. And he wants us all burning in hell. Yeah. He wants to own us all and own everything. So, not going along. Let's see. The world according to Vladimir Putin. Yeah, Vladimir Putin giving lessons to Western, the people of the West. I think sometimes we should listen to what he says and take it somewhat seriously. And as along with a grain of salt. Are they jabbing people over there? Yeah, I think they are. I think they're jabbing people in the whole world everywhere you go, but I'm not sure they're all getting the same concoction that they're giving to those willing participants and, I should say willing and unwilling participants in the USA and the five eyes, so-called, the five English-speaking nations. And yeah, it seems to be the worst of that. That's where it's being pushed the hardest, because these Western nations with their liberty, which they're losing because they're walking away and apostatizing from Christ, who gave them their liberty and their prosperity that came along with it. Yeah, it's being taken away. And I don't see the nation turning and repenting. I would like to see a national repentance. Not sure it's in the cards, but hopefully that there's a at least a certain amount of the populace that will repent from their wicked ways and cross the border into the kingdom of God and obtain eternal life. They will see that their best life is not now. It cannot be now. And anyone who's living to obtain their best life now, well, Satan is willing to make you think that you can get it from him. But he'll give you your best life now. Many of them do get their best life now, but they have no real joy, no true happiness, and they have no hope, because that's the price of your best life now, is an eternal hope and the peace that comes with that. As I started out, store up your treasures, not on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves can break through and steal, but store your treasure up in heaven. Yes, invest your life, your property, your labor in a treasure that will last forever, one that reaches beyond the grave, where not even Janet Yellen can touch it and steal it from you, as they're proposing her. And like I said, Barack Obama before her proposed to steal your treasure. But there's a treasure they can't touch, a treasure they don't even know about. Because if they had knowledge of it, they would cut all this nonsense out and they would glorify the God of heaven for creating them. And they would accept what his son has done to set them free from the power of sin and death. You in the chat room, you need to, where it says you're supposed to put your name in there. It said mindfulness train is popping up everywhere. It seems a selfish thing as they teach it. Okay. The vial tops are different colors. I wonder why, says Dale. Well, probably so they can choose who gets which one. I don't. Some of them have stuff in them, you know, it seems. That's why some nations have thrown out millions of batches, because they thought they were contaminated. But the question is, were they contaminated or were they meant to have those contaminants? So you can answer that question for yourself. For me, it doesn't matter because, you know, they'll have to bring an army and hold me down on the ground before they can, administer the transhuman jab to me. I will not accept it. Questions from one of your Bible studies. Is Yahweh a mockery of the name of the Father? Well, in a way it is, because it was a name given to those that worshipped using the name. They called them Yahoos. And that's where it began, if you study into the history of that. I'm sure for Yahweh, they don't know that or didn't know it when they started their company, that what the meaning of Yahweh was. Because now they think of a Yahweh as just some nutty person. And that's what they thought, that people who were worshiping using the name of the Creator, Yahuwah, they thought they were nutty. So it was a derogatory term when it began. But after that, it just became kind of a fun term, because somehow those people were happy and joyful and having fun worshiping and using the name. So there is a little history there. You can find that history. It's not out there much. I remember it was like 10 or 12 years ago when I researched it. I came and found that as the conclusion. Okay. Let's see. What else do we got here? Okay. Well, I think that's about all I have in the way of news. So let me look at the chat room, say hi to everybody there. I don't know how many people we have in the chat room. Oh, yes. We got WW, Jace, Dale, you, who hasn't changed your name yet. Gigi, Antiquity, Jesuit Fiend, another you. Tom W., it's good to see you here, Tom. And a third you. Stephen Ellis, and of course Far Studio would be me. Welcome one and all to our little chat room here and my little broadcast. I say little because very few people see it, but that doesn't matter, you know. All that matters is that we get to meet once a week here, and many of you listen to First Amendment Radio throughout the week. Thank you for that. Some of you are supporters of First Amendment Radio, and me and my family are grateful to God for that. We thank God for you. And that's one way to store up your treasure in heaven, beyond the grave, you know, is to invest in the work that God's kingdom is doing, and then do as much as you can around you, with the people around you, your own family. Make sure they all receive the gospel, and whatever else you can do, whatever the Lord would have you to do, or to give wherever He wants you to give. I don't ask anyone really to give to First Amendment Radio, but to maybe the Father would ask them. And that's what I believe. I believe that God calls on everyone who gives and supports our work here to give and support our work here. It's Him. And every time we receive something, we give thanks to God for it. So, and pray for everyone that God has given us to support our work and their families, their household. Okay, this hour's coming to an end. Let's see. I did hold people on the ground and did give them injections. Ooh. Stephen Ellis, were you a nurse when you did that? Trying to help me. Okay, so maybe you are a nurse, and hopefully you would not do that, Stephen, in the chat room there. That's, yeah. Some of this type is almost too dark to read. Maybe I need to reconfigure the chat room to, I'll see what I can do to fix that myself. I think there's a way to do that. But anyway, in our next hour, we are, we're going to jump into part four. So I hope you all stick around for that, and be praying for me that this book, which I don't believe there is another book out there like it. You know, after I finished this, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and then I did my Exposition of the Revelation, which has the same cover with different title on it. I thought, okay, Lord, can I write about something else besides prophecy? And I started toying with different ideas, but the Lord impressed upon me to write this Exposition of the Beast Powers and related apocalyptic symbols, and it's turning out pretty well. There's no other book like it that I can find, because, you know, in my research, I'm sure I would have come across one. So this will be a defining work in prophecy, and one that is, will be unique to everything else done. It won't be hundreds of pages. It'll probably be around 100, maybe a little more, but no less, because I'm already near 100 pages on it. But I don't want to bore people to death and put a lot of superfluous information out there. I like to kind of like to get right to the point. So I need your prayers for that, that God would be able to use this and it would be pleasing to Him. Okay. Thank you all for showing up for this first hour. And if you're so inclined, stick around. That next hour will come and we will do part four on that topic. I'll be back. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we are going to jump into the book I'm working on and share you as it is right now. Now, last week, I shared with you chapter 2, Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar's dream is the name of that chapter. So Daniel chapter 2 and the appropriate and the dream around those powers there, those political powers that were revealed in the image dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And I did write a conclusion on that, which I did not have last week. So I'm going to read that conclusion, and because I'm going to put conclusions to every chapter, what we draw from it, how we can use it. And so this is my draft conclusion for that chapter. And then after I share this conclusion with you, I'm going to go to chapter 3, which is Daniel 7, the four sea beasts. Okay, Daniel chapter 7, the four sea beasts. That's chapter 3 of the book I'm writing. So the conclusion of our previous chapter, these are just some conclusions. Like I said, I'll likely add more to it. But you'll see where I'm going with my conclusions. Okay. The dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. This statement can only be defined as a declaration of divine interpretation, an interpretation which the scripture itself reveals. Here, we also have the first mention of an image which is a conglomeration of the represented political powers. We must take notice and recall when we are later confronted with the symbol of an image being formed of the same beast that conquered and assimilated the first three powers here. The same four nations are again noted in later chapters as symbolized by animals or beasts rising up out of the symbolic sea. We must also consider this image as a template of a sort of the world-dominating powers that would rule until Christ, the stone cut out without hands, shatters the image, supplanting those powers, and sets up his millennial kingdom upon the earth. Anything that does not comply with or would otherwise be disallowed by this divine interpretation must be rejected. For instance, there are some that posit a Jewish takeover of the entire world with a Jewish Antichrist and New World Order. This would be disallowed by the fact that there is no intermediate kingdom, Jewish or otherwise, that would conquer and assimilate the fourth kingdom represented by this image, before Christ supplants them all. This assertion is further recapitulated by like notice in succeeding prophecies. Neither does our divine text disallow the reestablishment of Israel along with the other nations, along with it should be other nations. So I'm going to take out the there, along with other nations, though the 70 weeks prophecy does disallow national Israel taking up its former position as the church of God on earth, because its time as such was determined. And I give two footnotes there, Daniel 7:24, where it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people in the holy city, etc. And Daniel 9:27, the last part of it, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay? So national Israel is prevented from taking up its former position as the church of God on earth because its time as such was determined and had come to its end. Nor does the divine text disallow the simple existence of any other nation during the same epoch. Many nations have fought, risen and fallen without the explicit notice of Scripture. There is, however, one more nation enumerated in the Revelation as a beast power, but not named. That nation must also be the seventh beast of Revelation 17, 10, and 11, and the second or earth beast of chapter 13, it being the only mention of an additional beast power, must be the seventh there enumerated. This Revelation earth beast, because it does not conquer and assimilate the final sea beast here represented by the legs and feet of iron and clay of the Daniel image, but it rather comes alongside of and helps the sea beast in the era following, its rise as a separate power is therefore not disallowed by our divine interpretation here or the several following visions of Daniel. And I go on, we will discuss more detail of the terminal relationship between these two beast powers in the chapters to come, and we will, but not yet. That brings us to our next chapter, Daniel, chapter 3, covering Daniel 7, the four sea beasts. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the earth, diverse, meaning different, from one another. The beast symbol first used. Here we have the first notice of the sea and the beast symbols being used to describe nations or kingdoms rising to notable power in the world. The prophecy of this chapter being fully achieved in history, we need not to expound upon it much further than some of our greatest expositors of the past have already done, so we will rather build upon their work. And here I believe I'm quoting Matthew Henry. The vision itself foretells the revolutions of governments in those nations which the Church of the Jews, for the following ages, was to be under the influence of. 1. He observed the four winds strive upon the sea, upon the great sea. They strove to determine which should be the strongest, and at length remain ruling. This represents the contests among princes for empire, and the shaking of the nations by these contests, to which those mighty monarchies, which he was now to have a prospect of, owed their rise. One forceful wind from any point of the compass will cause a great commotion in the sea, but even more so when the four winds strive for mastery. This is the mastery which the kings of the nations are contending for in their wars, which are as noisy and violent as the battle of the winds. History attests how the locality represented is tossed and torn, how terrible are its concussions, and how violent its convulsions, while the nations are at strife over which shall have the sole power of it. 2. He saw four great beasts coming up from the sea, from the troubled waters. The monarchs and monarchies are represented by beasts, because too often it is by brutish rage and tyranny that they are raised and supported. These beasts were diverse from one another, of different shapes, to denote the different genius and complexion of the nations in whose hands they were lodged. Verse 4. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. The first beast was like a lion. This was the Chaldean monarchy, Babylon, that was fierce and strong, and made the kings absolute. This lion had eagle's wings, with which to fly upon the prey, denoting the wonderful speed that Nebuchadnezzar made in his conquest of kingdoms. But Daniel soon sees the wings plucked, a full stop put to the career of their victorious arms. The diverse peoples that had been tributaries to them revolt from them and make head against them, so that this monstrous animal, this winged lion, is made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart is given to it. It has lost its courage and become feeble and faint, dreading everything and daring nothing. They are put in fear and made to know themselves to be but men. Verse 5, and behold another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. The second beast was like a bear. This was the Persian monarchy, less strong and generous than the former, but no less ravenous. This bear raised up itself on one side against the lion, and soon mastered it. It raised up one dominion, so some read it, Persia and Media, which in Nebuchadnezzar's image were the two arms in one breast. Now set up a joint government. This bear had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth, the remains of those nations it had devoured, which were the marks of its voraciousness, and yet an indication that though it had devoured much, it could not devour all. Some ribs still stuck in the teeth of it, which it could not fully conquer. Verse 6, After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. The third beast was like a leopard. This was the Grecian monarchy, founded by Alexander the Great. Active, crafty, and cruel, like a leopard. He had four wings of a fowl. The lion seems to have had but two wings. But the leopard had four. For though Nebuchadnezzar made great dispatch in his conquest, Alexander made much greater. In 6 years he gained the whole empire of Persia, and a great part besides of Asia, and made himself master of Syria, Egypt, India, and other nations. This beast had four heads, and upon Alexander's death, his conquests were divided among his four chief captains. Dominion was given to this beast, and it was given of God, from whom alone promotion occurs. Verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, different from all of the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Aha! I think I just got that. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, that even forever and ever. The diverse fourth beast. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I just have to ask a question there. How long does he prevail against the saints? Until the Ancient of Days comes. Yeah. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be, remember that, kingdom? So he said kings first, and then he says kingdom. So we interchange those phrases to mean the same thing, kings and kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse, different from all of the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, so a different kind of horn. It's called little, and he shall subdue 3 kings, or 3 of the other horns. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, blasphemy, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a times, time, and a dividing of time. The fourth beast's power was more fierce, formidable, and tyrannical than any of the others, nor is there any among the beasts formerly presented to which it might be compared. The revelation later describes this beast as a red dragon, Revelation 12. History consequently unveils this anonymous beast to be the Roman Empire, which had not yet appeared at Daniel's time. It would come to comprehend 10 divisions represented by the horns, and then a little horn would arise by the subjection of 3 of the other horns. Its armies and commanders were the great iron teeth with which they devoured and brake in pieces the people of God and other nations of the sea locality, and they trampled upon the residue of them. this fourth beast will remain, though in a much altered state from its beginning, represented by the 10 toes of iron and clay at its end, when Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Conclusion. Here we have learned the interpretation of the things, that the beast symbol represents kingdom and dominion, and that the symbolic sea represents a certain locality from which they shall arise out of the earth, the earth being expressed here as an interpretation rather than a symbol. Take notice that all of these beasts are expressed in the masculine by the singular nouns, he, his, and him. Some would posit thereby that these beasts may represent individual men. However, the opposite is what our text reveals to be the rule. It is men that may in succession represent the beast powers, which seem to have a life of their own. They are not men, but are the creation of men who are made in the image of God, which may be one of the reasons that they are depicted as beasts in apocalyptic prophecy. We also understand the original horns to be divisions of the entire territorial dominion of the beast power represented. For John in the Revelation reveals to us, and that's, I'm speaking of the fourth beast there, being the power represented. For John in the Revelation reveals to us that those divisions receive no power until well into the Christian era. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have, at the time of the Patmos event, received no kingdom as yet, Revelation 17:12. The Gothic invasion that precipitated the fall of the Roman Empire into those 10 dominions was hundreds of years future from 95 AD. Here God practically leaves an invitation to the readers of the book of Revelation to look in the book of Daniel for the interpretation of the same symbols used in both books. Okay, well, that's the end of that chapter. Got through that one in one segment. And perhaps, unless someone has questions in the chat room, which I'll check during the break here, we'll jump right into the next chapter, and that'll be Daniel chapter 8. And since it follows immediately on the end of the chapter we just read, we'll do that. You're listening Across the Border. My name's Nicholas. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and it's live. Make sure you subscribe to my website. You can do that during the break even, and share as many of the posts there as you feel led to. That way you can help. If you can't help monetarily, you can help by spreading the word. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Live Prophecy Reality Edition. And I believe we're going to jump into Daniel 8. We may have time to finish it. I hope we do. Since I went through, I blew through chapter 7 pretty good. Let's see. Gigi had a question in the chat room about who is the little horn. Of course, the little horn would refer, I believe, to the Vatican. Okay, the 10 horns, if it are the 10 divisions of the whole Western Roman Empire. Okay, the little horn would have to be littler, a smaller division of one of those divisions. That's what I would posit, which I would mean would be the head or Vatican City. Okay, that's how we would go for that. If it's different. Plus, it's given a mouth and it speaks great things and blasphemy, indicating a religious power. Sits on seven hills. Well, the Rome is the city of seven hills. I'm not sure. Well, the Vatican, I guess, is its own hill. the Vatican is located in Rome, the city of seven hills. So, we'll sort all that out perhaps later. But that's part of the what's going on here, and is sorting all of these things out. The heads, the horns, the crowns, what it all means. Once we learn what it means, then we know that excludes just everything else. Okay. This is chapter 4. We will be covering Daniel 8. Verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw, that I was at Shushan in the palace. So in the vision, he was in the palace at Shushan, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai, or Ulai. 1. Here we have the date of the vision. It was the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, which proved to be his last year, as many reckon, so that this chapter also should be, in order of time, before the fifth chapter. So what he's saying here, we get from Matthew Henry, is that Daniel's not necessarily chronological in order. That Daniel might not be surprised at the destruction of Babylon now at hand. God gives him a foresight of the destruction of other kingdoms thereafter, which in their day had been as potent as that of Babylon. So we have a recapitulation of the powers introduced in the previous chapter. Then it was that a vision appeared to me, even to me Daniel. Here he solemnly attests the truth of it. It was to him, even to him, that the vision was shown. He was the eyewitness of it. And this vision puts him in mind of a former vision which appeared to him at the first, in the first year of this reign, which he makes mention of because this vision was a clarification and a confirmation of that, and points at many of the same events. The former seems to have been a dream, a vision in his sleep. This seems to have been while he was awake. 2. The scene of the vision, Shushan the palace, one of the royal seats of the kings of Persia, situated on the banks of the Ulai, which surrounded the city. It was in the province of Elam, that part of Persia which lay next to Babylon. Daniel was not there in person, for he was at the time in Babylon a captive, in some employment under Belshazzar, and might not go to such a distant country, especially being then an enemy's country. But he was there in vision, as Ezekiel, when a captive in Babylon, was often brought in the spirit to the land of Israel. Note, the soul may be at liberty when the body is in captivity, for when we are bound, the spirit of the Lord is not bound. The vision related to that country, so there in vision, he felt himself to be there as strongly as if he had been there. Okay, so we move on to verse 3 of chapter 8. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. So we have the ram and the he-goat. He saw a ram, a male sheep, with two horns. This was the second monarchy of which the kingdoms of Media and Persia were the two horns. The horns were very high, but that which came up last was the higher, and got the start of the former. So the last shall be first, and the first last. The kingdom of Persia, which rose last in Cyrus, became more eminent than that of the Medes. 2. He saw this ram pushing all about him with his horns, westward toward Babylon, Syria, Greece, and Asia, the less, northward towards the Lydians, Armenians, and Scythians, and southward toward Arabia, Ethiopia, and Egypt. For all these nations did the Persian Empire, at one time or other, make attempts upon for the enlarging of their dominion. And at last he became so powerful that no beast might stand before him. This ram, though of a species of animal often preyed upon, became formidable even to the beasts of prey themselves, so that there was no standing before him, no escaping him, none that could deliver out of his hand. But all must yield to him. The kings of Persia did according to their will, prospered in other ways abroad, and had uncontrolled power at home, and became great. He thought of himself great because he did what he would. But to do good is that which makes men truly great. Verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him with the fury of his power. And I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hands. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. 3. He saw a ram overcome by a he-goat. He was considering the ram, wondering that so weak an animal should become so powerful, and thinking what would be the issue. And behold, an he-goat came. This was Alexander the Great, the son of Philip, king of Macedonia. He came from the west, from Greece, which lay west from Persia. He fetched a great compass with his army, He came upon the face of the whole earth. He did, in effect, conquer the world, and then sat down and wept, because there was not another world to be conquered. This he-goat went on with incredible swiftness, so that he touched not the ground. So lightly did he move, he rather seemed to fly above the ground than to go upon it. Or none touched him in the earth, that is, he met with little or no opposition. This he-goat, or buck, had a notable horn between his eyes, like a unicorn. He had strength, and knew his own strength, and he saw himself a match for all his neighbors. Alexander pushed his conquests on so fast, and with so much fury, that none of the kingdoms he attacked had courage to make a stand, or give check to the progress of his victorious arms. In 6 years he made himself master of the greatest part of the then known world. Well might he be called a notable horn, for his name still lives in history as the name of one of the most celebrated commanders in war that the world ever knew. Alexander's victories and achievements are still the entertainment of the ingenious. This he-goat came to the ram that had two horns. Alexander, with his victorious army, attacked the kingdom of Persia, an army consisting of no more than 30,000 foot and 5,000 horse. He ran into them to surprise him before he could get intelligence of his motions in the fury of his power. He came close to the ram. Alexander, with his army, came up with Darius Cotomanus, then emperor of Persia, and being moved with choler against him, it was with the greatest violence that Alexander pushed on his war against Darius, who, though he brought vast numbers into the field, yet, for want of skill, was an unequal match for him, so that Alexander was too hard for him whenever he engaged him, smote him, cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, which three expressions, some think, refer to the three famous victories that Alexander obtained over Darius at Granicus, at Issus, and at Arbela, by which he was at length totally routed, having in the last battle had 600,000 men killed, so that Alexander became absolute master of all the Persian Empire, broke his two horns, the kingdoms of Media and Persia. The ram that had destroyed all before him now is himself destroyed. Darius had no power to stand before Alexander, nor has he any friends or allies to help deliver him out of his hand. Note those kingdoms which, when they had power, abused it, and because none could oppose them, withheld not themselves from doing the doing of any wrong, may expect to have their power at length taken from them, and to be served in kind. 4. He saw the he-goat made thereby very considerable, but the great horn that had done all this execution was broken. Alexander was about 20 years old when he began his wars. When he was about 26, he conquered Darius and became master of the whole Persian Empire. But when he was about 32 or 33 years of age, when he was strong in his full strength, he was broken. He was not killed in war, in the bed of honor, but he died a drunken surfeit, or, as some suspect, by poison. He left no child living behind to enjoy that which he had endlessly labored for, but he did leave a lasting monument of the vanity of worldly pomp and power, and their insufficiency to make a man happy. 5. Daniel saw this kingdom divided into four parts, and that instead of one great horn, there came up four notable ones. Alexander's four captains, or generals, to whom he bequeathed his conquests, and he had so much that, when it was divided among four, they had each of them enough for any one man. These four notable horns, the same as the four heads of Daniel 7:6, were towards the four winds of heaven. the kingdoms of Syria and Egypt, Asia and Greece, Syria lying to the east, Greece to the west, Asia Minor to the north, and Egypt to the south. Note, those that heap up riches know not who shall gather them, nor who shall all those things be which they have provided. Our next here, how long is this one? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we're not going to get this one done in the next, in the rest of this hour. But we will start next week when I come back with part five. And perhaps it's a good thing that we started this chapter, because it seems quite a bit longer than chapter seven, because it's going to deal with the little horn. A mighty city becomes an empire. And that was my heading. And of course, that mighty city is, of course, the Roman Empire, which is the seat of the Vatican. So first, we see the seven hills are upon, and the little horn has not received its power as yet, because it doesn't receive power until the division of the empire into ten. Of course, we're speaking of the Roman Empire here now, and the little horn that rises up. So Daniel sees something that's beyond the time determined for his people, because we learn from chapter 17 of the Revelation that even at the time that he received the revelation, that is, John received the revelation at 95 AD, that those horn powers had not received their dominion or their kingdoms as yet. Those dominions stood as divisions in potential only, which had received no power yet. And then we learn that they would receive their power when the kingdom is divided to ten, but then that the Antichrist, the little horn, rises up immediately and subdues or takes control of three of those divisions, it rising up out of those three divisions somewhere, it being a little horn or a further division of one of those ten divisions. And of course, that little division of one of those three divisions, which it took over, was the city of Rome, the great city, a mighty city, becomes an empire. And later on, even that city loses its power to a further division, being the Vatican. There's the great the mouth, the man with the mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. Of course, I believe the Roman Empire, before the Vatican division, spoke as much blasphemy as the other, but it worshipped many gods and many religions. It was not an apostate, because it was never part of the Church of God. But the Vatican, of course, that division is the head or the capital of a great apostasy that covers the whole earth. The greatest apostasy that ever was, still is, and ever shall be. Yeah. Okay. So we will jump into that next week. Let's see. The seven mountains are seven continents. Some people believe that. But we'll get to that part. And I believe, Gigi, I have that sorted out even better than I did in my previous books. I'm spending some time in prayer when I write. It's always, you know, it's read and pray. That's what our Bible reading should be, is read and pray. And I only want, you know, the Holy Ghost interpretation. I want the true interpretation. And if I can't sort it out, then that's what I get to write. I don't understand this. This has not been revealed to me yet. I will write that. If there's something I can't sort out, or I just won't write about it, because perhaps there are things I don't see yet. But yes, I've considered the seven mountains or hills. I don't believe that they represent seven continents, but perhaps the seven continents are, it's kind of iffy there. And I'm still working that out in the appropriate chapter, because I do have a chapter on that. One of the chapters to come. But I'm already writing that anyway. So anyway, those questions, if you have like a specific question, 17.9, but 17.9, if I go there, here's a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains or hill on which the woman sitteth. Now, the woman does sit on every continent. And I believe that's revealed as the many waters. Since the waters is multitudes, nations, tongues, and peoples, there are multitudes and nations and tongues and people on all of the seven continents. So I believe that's where that is revealed, as her sitting upon many waters. Not just the waters, the multitudes, nations, and tongues and peoples of the Western European Empire of the Old World, but the many waters of the whole earth, because that would, in that statement, extend to the whole earth. So I believe that's where the seven continents are mentioned. But here I believe it is specifically the seven hills of Rome and the seven heads. I'm still looking into that, still praying about that, but I think I'm beginning to get some revelation about what that means. And that is in this book, because that is part of what we're covering here. The heads, the horns, the crowns, and every related beast, exposition of every symbol that is used with the beast is what I want to support out. And I appreciate your comments on that. And, we will consider everything and try to answer any questions that have to do with those things. So anyway, I thank you for that, Gigi, in the chat room. So yeah, I believe I just covered that. And we do talk about the United Nations. Yeah. I made a note of that when we spoke of the image in chapter 2, that's where we get our interpretation of the image created in chapter 13. So we need to apply that apocalyptic interpretation, that divine interpretation that we get from chapter 2 needs to be applied. And when people don't apply it, that's where you get all this error and confusion at. And when I consider the amount of study and how many years I've been studying this and still doing it, it's no wonder there's so much confusion, because it takes a lot of intensive study to uncover these things. But that's all we have time for today. And like I said, we will pick up where we left off next week. In the meantime, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.